everyone. Welcome back to The Growth Signal, where we are rethinking the future of customer relationships, how we build them, how we keep them, and how we continue to lead as customer expectations rapidly evolve. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And I'm Gabrielle Mills.
And we are going to have a fantastic conversation today. So let's get right into it. Gabrielle, what is your hot take?
My hot take is that you can't grow a business that's bigger than you are willing to grow yourself.
Okay, you are speaking very near and dear to a topic. I'd love to talk about personal development and leadership and all of that. So I'm really excited about this, even more so than when we first got started. Tell us more what you mean by that.
So I have been through quite a bit of journey in my entrepreneurship journey. And when I look back on what I have learned and what I'm currently learning and what I'm doing, it all comes back to, if you are willing to grow yourself as a leader, then your business will be successful. If you are unwilling to do the work to continuously develop yourself, get better, grow as a leader, be more humble, be more, have more grit, even as you climb up the ladder, your business will feel that and it won't be as successful as you want it to be. It all starts with what you're willing to invest in yourself.
And I think some of that too, one of the topics that tends to come up on my shows is a lot of self-awareness, right?
Yeah.
Because I think if you need to grow yourself in order to grow your business and you are kind of the upper limit of what your business is capable of, mm-hmm. but you're not aware of where your failures, your limitations, your struggles or your challenges are, then you're never actually going to achieve that.
Yeah.
Because if you can't see it, if you can't admit it to yourself, then you're never going to fix it.
Yeah. And we're all a work in progress. And I think that as you are in business ownership long enough or in your role long enough or as a leader, you kind of you get comfortable and secure and confident in what it is that you do, which is absolutely wonderful. But we are always a work in progress. So even though you've reached a certain level of success where you are, I think the best leaders are the ones that continue to grow and develop themselves because they know that they don't know everything, that they're not good at everything, and they want to constantly learn how to be better so they can apply that in their teams and in their companies.
Yeah, because you were using words like, oh, you get comfortable, you get confident, and the immediate word that popped into my head was, and you get complacent, and you're just like,
gonna
settle.
Complacent. You can get complacent, but I think that... sometimes like we think of complacent as a negative thing, as I think we should, because it's not great. But when you think about being confident in what you do, that's not a negative thing. Like you get to be like, hey, I've done this. I've been here. I've earned my stripes. But that can also close off your perspective of wanting to learn more. And hey, there are things that I don't know, or maybe there are theories or situations or some or circumstances from another department that I could learn about and apply to what I do and constantly expand your thinking. So while confidence is wonderful and complacency is bad, I do think that we have to be aware to not close ourselves off from learning other things and continuing to develop ourselves so we can get even better.
What do you think is the biggest blind spot leaders have when it comes to growing their business?
When you talk about that, are you talking about mostly like leaders of teams or leaders of organizations?
Maybe let's hit both. Let's do the organization first.
Okay. I think as an organization gets bigger, I think leadership sometimes tends to run more scared. And when I mean by scared, I don't mean like fear scared. I mean like there's more red tape and there's more people you have to please and there's investors and stakeholders and departments that are going to be offended if you step in their lane, things like that. So I think you get the bigger the company, the safer decisions are because there's so many different layers to those decisions. And I think the best organizations are the ones that innovate and are agile and can move fast, but it's really tough to do that in an organization. So I think your original question was what's getting in the way, right?
Yeah.
I think what's getting in the way is leaders not making enough pathway for that creativity and innovation to happen. And there's so many things that, so many rules you have to follow that it might stifle some of that creative thinking.
Yeah, I consulted for a Fortune 100 company, so big organization, global. And I have a distinct memory of sitting through a 45-minute meeting, no joke, on which word should be bolded in an internal email that was going to go out to like 60 people that none of them were going to read. And I remember thinking, like, is this really at its core, like, what the company was meant to do? Because I think a yeah. lot of companies at that size, they get away from what their purpose was and what their intent was, right? Your intent was not to sit in 45-minute meetings with 15 people to decide what words to bold and what words to not bold.
Yeah. And I think when you're in a smaller organization, you're closer to the money. And so you look at a meeting like that and you say, what an expensive meeting to talk about a bold letter. Now, granted, I am, like I said, we're all a work in progress. I am not perfect. Have I been the reason that we have talked about a bold letter for 30 minutes? Yes, I have. So,
100% same, but
100%. But I think going back to what you're saying, the mission of the company is to do X, Y, and Z. If that bold letter is going to do X, Y, and Z, have the 30-minute meeting. But does it need 15 people? That's an expensive meeting. Can we streamline? Can we would like it's getting out of the pathway of what's normal. And that becomes normal in a larger company. And I think that's where people get really irritated and they get complacent and they get stagnant because it's like, I can't move. I feel stifled.
Yeah. And it's hard too, right? Because the bigger your organization gets, the more diluted the viewpoints are. If the founder is no longer part of the company, the person who originally created it, invented it for whatever reason is no longer there.
Yeah.
You do lose a little bit of that like founder-led advantage. Now, not all companies should be led by their founders, right? Because sometimes as a founder, you need to step aside and let someone else do operations. But you lose a little bit of the reason why you were in the room in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. Going back to your question on what was that question? I'm sorry.
About like teams. What about leaders of teams? What are their blind spots?
Yes, that's what I was going back to. I feel like in smaller organizations, but ones that are still sizable, I think that they get in their own way by not exposing themselves to other things in the world and other ideas. I think that it's really important that leaders get themselves in rooms where they feel uncomfortable, where they feel stretched, where they feel challenged, where they get their teams there too, of constantly doing personal and professional development. I think that makes for a more well-rounded team and it makes for a better company because everybody's rising with the tide instead of just somebody else kind of pulling everybody along.
So there's actual real science behind what you were saying. I just had this conversation with my husband because I read an article that said people who shower more often are more intelligent, more creative, and have better ideas. And I was like, what?
Interesting.
What could the correlation possibly be there? And I'm like, okay, so I'm just supposed to like spend all day in the shower. But it's actually that our brains, in order to dump the waste that our brains have, we need what we call transition time. And that basically is time in which your brain is not being actively asked to do anything that you're familiar with. You're doing something either totally mindless or totally new. And I work from home and I said to my husband, I'm like, oh, I don't really have transition time. I'm from meeting to meeting to meeting to back to back to back.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm running to the kitchen and back, but there's no moment in time where my phone isn't in my hand, where I'm not actively doing something for my business, where I'm not laser focused on it. And there's science to say that your brain isn't clearing that. So therefore you are not able to be creative because it's essentially like your brain's getting bogged down and mucked up by all of the stuff that you're working on. And so yeah. I've started going to a co-working space every once in a while.
I thought you were going to say you started showering more.
I did start showering more, but I did start going to a co-working space and leaving my phone at home. And
ooh,
I'm just talking to, I know it's brave,
woo!
Just talking to other entrepreneurs who are building something. And sometimes just hearing other people who are in a similar problem structure that I am, different problems that we're solving. But I've really found a difference in my ability to be creative and think outside the box because I'm opening my world to new perspectives when I'm not attached to this tiny little computer in front of my face.
Absolutely. And don't you feel like your brain gets bigger? Like it feels like time expands. It feels like your brain pathways open up and they have like freedom to just take in more information. You think clearer. You think you have cooler thoughts. And it's just, it's so important to, I say, get yourself in rooms that challenge you, that grow you. And sometimes you don't have to be an active participant in that room. You can just be listening. Mm-hmm. That's why I love conferences so much, because I may not know anything about the content. I may know nobody there, but the speaker is going to say something likely unrelated to my business whatsoever, but it gives me an idea that I had never thought about. And it's the same concept of like, if you've ever traveled for mission work or just ever traveled at all, where you go into a different culture and you're like, oh, I've learned things more about my own culture, having now gone somewhere to see somebody else's culture. That doesn't mean you have to apply somebody else's culture to yours, but it just gives you this exposure and this understanding of like, oh, I can apply some different things in my business. I can think about things a different way. And I think that's the best asset any good leader in a team could have, is just exposing themselves first to things outside of what is commonplace for their role. And even better if they can do that with their teams too.
So let's go back to, speaking of that, let's go back a little bit to your origin story. You are a business owner. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about why you were, I'll use the word brave enough to leap into the world of entrepreneurship and business ownership.
So going into entrepreneurship, it kind of felt like a calling. I felt very pulled that is what I was supposed to do in my life. And my mom and I had a conversation and she told me that she also wanted to do that. So we made the decision to go into business together, my mom and I. We've had it for 10 years now. At the time, we looked for franchises first because we wanted to see if there was an existing model that we could jump into. And when push came to shove, there wasn't anything that really put fire in our hearts and anything. So we came up with the concept of Sourced by asking businesses what they needed and where they were underserved. And then we opened the business and have been on a journey of how do we do that the best that we can, better than anybody else in the industry. And so that's what we've been doing for 10 years. We've been very blessed to do that. It has not been without its bumps and its bruises, and girl, like this a whole podcast for another day. But it has been wonderful. And I'm glad that you used the word brave when starting the business, not because I am so flattered that you thought that decision was brave, but I think anybody who does that is a brave leap to leave your job or start a side hustle or go out into the uncharted unknown. I think that's very brave of people to do, but I think that's what we were meant to do. We weren't meant to be silent. We weren't meant to sit on the sidelines and hold our ideas that nobody could hear them. We were meant to take action and follow the callings on our heart. And I love to see when people get up and they go make those things happen. And if they don't work, then so what? It's not that serious. It will go do something else. So I love seeing people get started on what it is they want to do.
I do too. I love that the feel of entrepreneurship. Like if you've ever gone to one of those startup events where it's just a bunch of people who are trying to start stuff, like there's energy in the room. But there is one thing, you used one word very specifically that I want to key in on when you were talking about starting your business, because I think it's the part that a lot of entrepreneurs miss. You said you went around and you asked businesses what they needed. Mm-hmm. That I feel like that keyword, the word asked, is something that a lot of people miss, because I see a lot of people starting businesses because they saw something on TikTok or because they had a what they think is a brilliant idea, but they've never actually validated it with someone who would pay them money for it.
Yeah.
I've been guilty of that too, right? I'm a serial entrepreneur. And that is the piece, though. It's not sexy. It's not exciting. And it's actually really scary to go
very
ask
scary.
Businesses.
Yeah.
So how did you, one, get over the fear of going and actually asking, and two, take what you were hearing and turn it into a real thing people were willing to pay money for?
So here's the thing. We've all had really great ideas and we get really passionate about things. But what I have found is that when you open up your hands to say, I want some help with this, I need some advice, I need some guidance, the blessings that people will give you back is immeasurable. It's, you just have to ask the question and people are willing and looking for and excited to help you. I think oftentimes we don't want to go out into the world and look stupid. So we keep our thoughts to ourselves. We come through very professional, blah, blah, blah. And I do understand that. And especially as you get more advanced in your career, you don't want to look like you don't know what you're doing. I totally understand that. But as I said in the beginning of this, we're all a work in progress. So if you're open and honest about where you are in the journey and you're like, hey, I have an idea. I would love your feedback. The amount of kindness and open-heartedness and, oh my gosh, the amount of advice that I have not had to pay for that has been priceless advice has been amazing. And so I think we don't want to put ourselves out there because we're scared of looking stupid when really you're just getting the best advice ever, totally for free, and people who literally want to help you. And it's, if you frame it like that, it's not hard to do anymore. And the more logical, like, yeah, it's a very heart-centered approach to it, of like a very emotionally driven approach. Logically speaking, you don't know if your idea is going to work unless you ask somebody if it's going to work. So Alyssa, you and I were talking about our forays into public speaking before the podcast rolled. I don't know if a speech is going to hit the notes I want it to hit unless I do it in front of people and I get their feedback. Shame on me if I get on a stage and I take somebody's money to get on a stage to deliver a message that doesn't resonate with people. So why would you spend your time building a business that doesn't resonate with people? You have to get the feedback. You have to ask if you want to have a good idea. So there's both sides of it. There's the emotionally fulfilling side and then the, if you really want to do it right, you really should. Side.
Well, and two, I do think that there is a, not to blame everything on like social media, but a rise in people not wanting to be vulnerable in the world of social media, right? Because I don't know about you, but I open up my LinkedIn and it's, everybody's doing great and we're announcing all of these things and all of our businesses are hitting all of their goals because people are only posting their highlight reels and not posting like what's really going on. Because I had a conversation with someone like, oh my gosh, he looks so successful. And they're like, oh no, he just posts on LinkedIn. He doesn't actually do anything. And I'm sitting here going, oh, well, I fell for it. I thought in my head, I'm like, oh my God, he's so successful.
It's such a shame. It really is. And I see a lot of people on Instagram and TikTok. And look, go get that bag. Do what you want.
Oh, hell
but
yeah.
I don't believe in like lying or anything. So I hope these people aren't lying. Although I'm sure some of them are. A lot of people are getting in front of a camera and saying, this is how you build your business to 7 figures in 6 months. Okay. While that might have happened to you, the chance of that happening is very, very, very slim. This is how you grow your email list in 3 days. This is how I did one thing to buy a yacht.
Right. This is how I work 4 hours a week and make $10,000 a month.
Yes. And while I tell myself they're not lying to me because I don't want to see that side of humanity, it could happen. Yes, it could. But publicizing that it's likely to happen to the masses is not realistic. You got to figure out what's realistic for you and try a bunch of stuff. That person, let's say that thing worked. That person didn't know that thing was going to work. They probably tried 26 other things that failed dismally and cost them a ton of money. And then they found the one thing that works. So you just... The real advice is to try a bunch of crap and you'll find the thing that works for you and that feels right for you.
Yeah. And you'll know it. You've said it a couple of times when like you can feel it, you feel called or you feel the calling on your heart. Like you'll know when you found the right thing, and it's okay to not find the right thing for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. When it comes to actually scaling a business, right? Because it's not enough to just say like, oh, I have a good idea and people are willing, you know, people have given me good feedback. How do you actually take it from a good idea to a money generating, profit generating activity.
I'm so glad you said this. I actually have a whole talk around this. I call it the SCALE framework. And so SCALE, S-C-A-L-E. These are the five things in a business that an entrepreneur or a leader need to focus on in order to substantially grow their company with sustainability. Being able to see through the ups and downs of everything. First one is systems. Second one is capital. A is for automation, technology. L is for leadership. And E is for expansion. These are the five ingredients, I believe, that help a business scale effectively. And looking at the things that matter in an order that will actually grow the business to be profitable and sustainable.
Yeah. Unfortunately, systems for a lot of entrepreneurs, not very exciting, not very sexy, not something people really usually, as one of them, I really don't want to start with systems, but I know inherently like, okay, I have to have systems in place if I'm ever going to scale.
You do.
So tell us
I have a little joke, Alyssa, that I should have called the S shower, not to be confused with your shower story, but I have a story that I almost quit my business while I was crying in the shower for the fourth time that week. And it was because, looking back on it, it was because I didn't have systems. And so when I give this talk, systems is the most important. I say, if you get nothing else out of this 60-minute presentation, hear this. It is systems. You have to have ironclad systems in your business, period, bar none, or you're vulnerable.
Well, and I think a lot of us too, again, putting on my entrepreneurship personality hat, I want to skip right to expansion, right? Like that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to grow my business. I'm here to be, you know, someone who stands on stage and everyone applauds because she's so successful. But there is, to your point, you know, four other steps before that in your framework.
Yeah. So, expansion is so fun, but it won't be fun if you don't make it strong, your infrastructure strong before you get to that. Because you can't have fun until you've built a business and you've built your capital in such a way and your team in such a way that can support the expansion that you want to have.
So if someone is currently crying in the shower and trying to figure out what comes next for their business and hears this, what is the one thing you would have them do first in order to scale?
100% create your systems. And when I mean create your systems, I mean create repeatable processes. So that is your standards, your processes, your how-tos, your instructions. Everything in your business, every department, every role, everything needs a defined system around it. And then you document it. Put simply, create process, write process down. Really is what it is. That way you can train any new staff on that system. And then you can reinforce it with your current staff. And you're not just left to people's memory and what they can recall. That's not going to be consistent. That's not going to create growth. So that's why I was crying in the shower, is I didn't have good enough systems. So what I want people to be doing in the shower is that transition mode and calming your brain to open up your brain for new ideas, not where I found, which was, you know, wondering if I should quit at all.
Right. Actual sobbing. So that's perfect for us to transition to as we kind of close out our show. So, Gabrielle, thinking about all of the incredible people that you've had a chance to meet or that you know or that you aspire to know, who is leading the charge? Who is changing the way we build businesses?
There's so many people. And I know you told me to be ready for this question and I'm still not. Because there's so many people that I admire. I'm going to go with some old faithfuls.
Okay.
So I don't have one. I adore Brendan Burchard. He is a high performance coach, and he studied executives and high performers to develop habits, but also not in just being a high performer in your business, but just a high performer in life and having a very aware, long barometer for feeling and emotion in life. I think that's really great balance. And I've also always followed Rachel Hollis. She kind of fell out of vogue and for there in a minute, but she was a big reason that I got through my darkest times in business, because it was a woman that looked like me doing the things that I was hoping to do one day in my company and on stage. And I think it's, I like to follow her story because she's like 5 or so years ahead of me, 10 years ahead of me, maybe. And so I like to listen to her. And I guess in short, who's really changing the game? I think a lot of people are. I tend to gravitate toward the people that look at success not as just your career success, but your overall life success. Nobody's coming to mind right now because I have so many and I'm having a hard time picking one. But I think the best leaders, Mel Robbins. Oh my God, love her right now. Anyway, the best leaders are the ones that say, I can be successful in my business. I can be successful in my marriage. I can be successful in my parenting, all the things. I may not be successful all of them at the same time, but I can put intention behind being the best, showing up as the best version of myself in every single one of those roles. I love people that don't focus on just one, they focus on it all.
And if someone is really connecting with you and they want to learn more, where can they find you online?
So I am primarily on Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. The handle is Gabrielle.speaks. And if they are interested in learning about what I do for a living, my website is getsourced.com. Company's name Sourced, website Get Sourced.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the Girl Signal. This was a great conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.